परिचितम असतीं प्रभुश्च विश्वामसो न पितरो विसृजेत धर्मा न वेदवाजान् अनुवर्तने मतिः स एव लोके रमतो महामुनेः यथा गतिर्देव मनुष्ययो पृथक् स एव धर्मेण परं क्षिपेक्षित अत्यवराग्वृत्तयो यस्य महित्वात्मा भूद्य यथामती गृह्णन्ति स्म कृतानुग्रह विग्रहम् तमेव वत्साश्रयभृत्यवत्सलम् मुमुक्षुभिर्मृग्य पदाब्ज पद्धतिम् अनन्यभावेण यधर्मभाविते मन्यस्यवस्थाप्य भजस्व पूरुषम् यच्च यद्दैव विहितम् स तेन सुखदुःखयोः आत्मानम् तोषयन् देहि तमसः पारवृद्धति गुणाधिकान् वदम् लिप्सेत् अनुक्रोशम् गुणाधमात् मैत्रीम् समानादन्विच्छेन्नत्र अभिजूयते प्रसादाभिमुखम् सस्व प्रसन्नवदनेक्षणम् सुनासम् सुभ्रुवम् चारु कपोलम् सुरसुन्दरम् अरुणम् रमणीयाङ्गम् अरुणोश्चेक्षणाधरम् प्रणताश्रवणम् दुम्नम् शरण्यम् करुणार्णवम् योऽन्तः प्रविश्य मम वाजमिमाम् प्रसुप्ताम् सञ्जीवयच्च किल शक्तिधरस्वधाम्ना अन्यांश्च हस्तचरणश्रवणस्य दादीम् प्राणान् नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यम् या निर्वृतस्तनुवृताम् तव पादपद्मा ध्यानाद्भवज्जनकथा श्रवणे जीवे स्यात् सा ब्रह्मणि स्वमहिमन्यपि नासमाभूत् किम् त्वम् तदा विमिलिता सततम् विमानात् भक्तिम् मुहुप्राहताम् त्वयि मे प्रसङ्गो भूयादनन्तमहतामलाशयानाम् येनाञ्जसोऽल्बणमुरुव्यसनम् भवाग्भिम् नेष्ये भवद्गुणकथामृतपानमत्त त्वम् नित्यमुक्तपरिशुद्ध विबुद्ध आत्मा कूटस्थ आदिपुरुषो भगवान् श्रुधीश यद्बुद्धवस्थितमखण्डितया सदृश्या न वै मकुन्दस्य पदारविन्दयो रजोदिषस्तातभवादृशा जनाः वाञ्छन्ति यद्वास्यमृतेरथात्मनो निश्चया लब्धमनस्य बुद्धया यस्य प्रसन्नो भगवान् गुणैर्वैत्यादिभिर्हरि तस्मै नमन्ति भूतानि निम्नम् आप इव स्वयम् तितिक्षया करुणया मैत्र्या च किल जन्तुषु समत्वेन च सर्वात्मा भगवान् सम्प्रसीदति शान्तस्तमदृशशुद्ध सर्वभूतानुरञ्जनाः शान्त्यन्त्यतात्सुतपदम् अस्ति तत्प्रियबान्धवाः वरान् विभोचद्वरदुश्चराद्बुधा कथम् वृणेते गुणविक्रियात्मनाम् येनारताणामपि सन्ति देहिनाम् प्राणीश कैवल्यपते वृणेन च न कामयेनाथ तदस्यहम् क्वचिन् न यत्र युष्मच्चरणाम्बुजासवः महत्तमान्तर्हृदयान्मुखस्तु विधस्वकर्णायुधमेघमेवरः स उत्तमश्लोकमहन्मुखस्तु भवत्पदाम्भोजसुधाकणानि न स्मृतिम् पुनर्विस्मृततत्त्ववर्त्मनाम् कुयोगिनाम् नाविदरत्यलम्बरैः चारुचित्रपदम् लक्ष्णम् मृष्टम् गूढम् अविष्कवम् सर्वेषाम् उपकारार्थम् तदा अनुवसिवा गृहेषु कोटधर्मेषु शक्तो ग्राम्यसुखेच्छया कर्मतन्त्रम् विधनुते वेदवादविपन्नधीः विद्यातपो वृक्ष सताम् गुणैषद्भिरसत्तमेतरैः कृतौ हतायामृतमानदुदृश श्रद्धा न पश्यन्ति हि धाम भूयसाम् सत्त्वम् विशुद्धम् वसुदेव शब्दितम् सदीयते तत्र भुमानपावृतः सत्त्वे च तस्मिन् भगवान् वासुदेवो यथोक्षजो मे नमसा विधीयते कर्णौ पिधाय निरयत् धर्मावृतस्मिभिरस्यमाने किम् जात्रहस्य ऋषताम सुताम् प्रभुश्चेत् जिह्वामसू न पिततो विसृजेत् धर्मः न वेदवादाननुवर्तते मते स एव लोके रमतो महामुने यथा गतिर्देव मनुष्यो पृथक् स एव धर्मेण परम् क्षितेत्सिकः अत्यर्वावृत्तयो यस्यामहित्वाम् वृत्तिगादय यथामति गृह्णन्ति स्म कृतानुग्रह विग्रहम् तमेव वच्चाश्रयभृत्य वत्सलम् मुमुक्षुभिर्नृत्य पदाद्य पद्धतिम् अनन्यभावे निजधर्मभाविते मन्यस्यवस्थाप्य भजस्य पूरुषम् यस्य यद्दैव विहितम् स तेन सुखदुःखयोः आत्मानम् तोषयन् देही तमसंसारमृच्छति गुणाधिकान्मुदम् लिख्येत् अनुक्रोशम् गुणाधमात् मैत्रीम् समानादम् लिख्येन्नतापैरभिभूयते प्रसादाभिमुखम् स्वस्य प्रसन्नवदनेक्षणम् सुनाशम् सुभ्रुवम् चारु कपोलम् सुरसुन्दरम् करुणम् रमणीयाङ्गम् अरुणोच्छेक्षणाधरम् प्रणताश्रयणम् मृङ्गम् चरञ्जम् करुणार्णवम् योऽन्तः प्रविश्य मम वाजममाम् प्रसुप्ताम् सञ्जीवयस्य कुलशक्तिधरस्य धाम्ना नान्तहस्तचरणश्रवणस्य गादीन् प्राणान् नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यम् या निर्वृतस्तनुभृताम् तव पादपद्मा ध्यानाद्भवज्जनकथा श्रवणेषु यो स्यात् ब्रह्मणिश्च महिमन्यविनाशमाभूत् किम् त्वम् तथा शिलुलितम् पततम् विधानात् भक्तिमः प्रवहताम् प्रसङ्गो भूयादनन्तमहदाममलाशयानाम् तेनाम् च सोल्वनमुरव्यतनम् भवाद्भिम् नेष्ये भवद्गुणकथामृतपारमस्त त्वम् नित्यमुक्तपरिशुद्ध विबुद्ध आत्मा कूटस्थादिपुरुषो भगवान् श्रीश यद्बुद्ध्यवस्थितमखण्डितयाश्च न वै मुकुन्दस्य पदारविन्दयो रजोदुषुस्तात् भवादृशा जना त्वाम् सन्ति तद्वासमृतेरुपात्मनो युक्त्यप्रसन्नो भगवान् गुणैर्मैत्यादिभिर्हरि तस्मै नमन्ति भूतानि भिन्नमापरिव स्वयम् चिकित्सया करुणया मैत्र्यस्या किल जंसतु समत्वेन च सर्वात्मा भगवान् सम्प्रसीदति शान्तात्मदृशो तद्वा सर्वभूतानुरञ्जनाः अच्युतप्रियबान्धवा परान् विभो तद्वरदेश्वराद्भुता कथम् वृणीते गुणविक्रियात्मना येनारताणामपि सन्ति देहिनाम् तानि शतैवल्यपते वृणेन च न कामयेनाथ ततस्यहम् क्वचिम् न यत्र युष्मच्चरणाम्बुजाशव महत्तमाम् तर्हृदयाम् वसत्युत विभस्य कर्णायुतमेशमेव सौत्तमश्लोकमहम् मुखच्युत भवत्पदाम्भोजसुधाकणानिल स्मृतम् पुनर्विस्मृततत्त्ववर्त्मनाम् कुयोगिनाम् न विवरस्य लम्बरेः सारुचित्रपदम् श्लक्ष्णम् रिक्तम् गूढम् अविप्लवम् सर्वे तामुपकारार्थम् तदा अनुवदन् युग हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओमज्ञानतीरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्
वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सह गणा रघुनाथं वितं तं सुजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सह गणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते सप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 रामो हरे रामो राम रामो हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण। सो बिगिन द 13th चैप्टर ऑफ फोर्थ कैंटो टुडे। सूत उवाच निशंग कौसार विनोपवर्णितम् ध्रुवस्य वैकुंठ पदाधिरोहणम् प्ररूढभावो भगवत्यधोक्षजे प्रष्टुं पुनस्तं विदुरः प्रतिक्रमे।
Sri Gautami continued to speak to all the rishis over the Purnava, said, after hearing Maitreya Rishi describe Dhruva Maharaja's extent to Lord Vishnu's abode, Vidur became very much enlightened in the emotion and inquired from Maitreya's guru.
So 12th chapter completes the episode of Dhruva Maharaj, who's going back to Godhead also. So after hearing the whole episode of Dhruva Maharaj, how he attained perfection, Vidura, the hearer here, he was overwhelmed with ecstasy. Kausharava Upavarandikam. Upavarandikam means described by Kausharava, Maitreya. Dhruvasya Vaikuntha Padaji Rohanam. How Dhruva attained Vaikuntha, so that is explained by Maitreya Muni. And Prarudhabhavo, the emotion that our Vidura was going through after hearing this is very devotional, right? Prarudha, it increased his devotional emotion, and then he addressed our Maitreya Muni as follows. Prabhupada very nicely writes in the purport how the activities of Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, they are so fascinating that the hearer will not get tired, even the speaker also will not get tired of discussing them. So both hearer and speaker are very much enthused to continue the discussion if the discussion is about Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. So Vidura's untiring eagerness to hear about Krishna and devotees indicates the spiritual potency of Krishna Katha when it is properly heard and spoken. Right, so that indicates his spiritual potency. Even in 10th canto, this first chapter itself, this verse comes, Vasudeva Katha Prashna, Pumsam Sprin Punatihi, Vaktaram Prithyatam Shrotram Tatpada Salilam Yatha. It's like the water that was with the lotus feet of Krishna, Tatpada Salilam, it is Ganges. It can purify all the three worlds. Similarly, Krishna Katha can purify three kinds of people. Right? Vasudeva Katha Prashna, the questions and answers about Vasudeva. Right? Pumsam Sprin Punatihi. three types of Purushans, three punatis, three types of men are purified. They are Vaktaram, the speaker, Prithritam, the question asker, whoever is asking the question, Srotram, whoever is happened to be there hearing this whole discussion. So all three types of people are purified. That is the power of Krishna Gata. The Prabhupada raises a question, how can people devote so much time simply to talks of God? Just by hearing about God, people spend so much time. How is it not very surprising? Prabhupada answers, devotees are never satiated or satisfied in hearing and speaking about Krishna and his devotees. The more they hear and talk, the more they become enthusiastic to hear. Right? So this is very much evident in Bhagavatam so far only. Till 4 cantos only we can understand many times Vidura is asking so many questions to Maitreya with great eagerness, and Maitreya is getting further enthused. Right? 3rd canto, 5th chapter, 8th chapter, we hear all this. Right? And the discussions between Maitreya and Vidura are very purposeful. Nahi alpartho devasthasya vidurasya amalatmana. What is the next line? Nahi alpartho devasthasya vidurasya amalatmana. Tasmin variyasi prasna sadhuvadopa brahmita. So, first chapter itself, at the 3rd canto, the potential of the discussions between Maitreya and Vidura is mentioned. So, they are accrued by great saintly persons and they are not for any meager purpose. And somewhere in those purports only Prabhupada mentions that material sense gratification is under the law of satiation. As time progresses, the pleasure in that sense gratification decreases. That is the quality of material sense gratification. On the other hand, spiritual activity, in a spiritual activity the pleasure increases if it is done with proper service attitude. So Maitreya and Vidura both have such a attitude in hearing and speaking. So the pleasure in their discussion is day by day increasing only, it's not decreasing. So that is the potency of a pure spiritual discussion when done in proper consciousness. What is the such kind of verse that we discuss the quality of hearer and speaker and subject matter? 18th chapter. Sutta Goswami to the sages. So 18th chapter. Konama Tripyat Rasavit Kathaya Mahatamaitanta Parayanasya. The second verse. This is the 17th item. Tanno Bhavan Vai Bhagavat Pradhano Mahatamaitanta Parayanasya. Hare Rudaram Chiritam Visuddham Vishurukatamma Vitamodavitam. So the quality of hearer speaker is Tanno Bhavan Vai Bhagavat Pradhano. He is Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only object of his life. Bhagavat Pradhano. And the quality of hearer is Sushrushatamno. They are very eager to hear. And the quality of subject matter is Hare Rudaram Chiritam Vishuddham. The pure nectarian fastens of Krishna. So when the subject matter is like this, and then the hearer is like this, and the speaker is like this, so that will go on only. There is no fatigue. So on both parties. So that is the no satiation, Prabhupada is saying. Matyatta Madhara Prana Bodhananta Parasparam Katantasyamamitam Kishin Kikramantija. Means my devotees are satisfied just by hearing about me, discussing about me. And Ko Nama Tripyat Rasavit Kathayam Mahatamaikanta Parayanasya. Ko Nama Tripyat Rasavit Kathayam. Who will be satisfied by hearing about Krishna? No satisfaction. The Bhagavad Gita verse is very satisfaction only. One verse is satisfaction only, other verse is no satisfaction. It means devotees are satisfied just to hear Krishna Katha. And how much ever they hear, they are not satisfied. They don't need any other subject. So that is the meaning of satisfaction. Right? In the 10th canto, after the Putana episode is completed, then Parikshit Maharaj expresses his eagerness in two verses, very beautiful verses. Yena Yeravatarena Bhagavan Hari Ishwaraha Karoti Karna Ramyani Mano Jnanita Nah Prabhu. The next verse is Yatrinato Apaiti Aratir Vikrishna Satvanta Siddhanti Atireda Pumsa Bhaktir Haro Tat Purushete Satyam Tadeva Haram Padamanyati. So these two verses describe the power of hearing Krishna Katha, and specifically the Bali Leela of Krishna. So before entering the Trinavarta episode, so Parikshit Maharaj just glorifies what he is going through after hearing 10th canto, 10th canto till 6th chapter. The power of this Krishna Katha is Yena Yenavacharena Bhagavan Haririshwara Karoti Karna Ramyani. Krishna Katha is very pleasing to the ear, Karna Ramyani. Then Manognan, very attractive to the mind, pleasing to the ear, attractive to the mind. Apaiti Aratir Vikrishna. Apaiti means just vanquishing, removing. Aratir, whatever unattractiveness we have in the heart towards Krishna Katha, that is removed. Vikrishna, whatever attractiveness that we have for material things, that is also removed. Aratir Vikrishna, that is Apaiti, is removed. Then Satvam Cha Siddhati Atirena. The existential core of one's heart is purified. Prabhupada translates like that. So one's heart is purified by hearing Krishna Katha. And the next effect, Bhakti Harav. One's devotional attitude towards Hari is increased. Then Sat Purusheta Satyam. So one's eagerness to associate with Vaishnavas is also increased. That is the potency of hearing Krishna Katha in proper consciousness. Like that. Here one important point Prabhupada says is, it's not just about hearing Krishna, hearing about Krishna, but it is also about hearing about his devotees. Even hearing about his devotees also has the same effect. In the same Vidura Maitreya Samvad we hear, Vidura says, Charitam Chastra Rajasya Rajra Yusya Sattama Gruhina Shraddhadanasya Gruhina Shraddhadanasya Vishwakshenasya Yohyasam. When after Manu's appearance, right, Vidura asks this expresses his eagerness to hear more about Manu. Chiritam Tasya Rajarshya, I want to hear about that Raja, Manu. Adi Rajasya Sattamaha, he is the king of all things, he is the original king, I want to hear. Why he wants to hear about Manu? Because he is a devotee. Vishwakshenasya Ashraya, he has taken shelter of Lord, Supreme Lord Hari, Vishwakshena. So his activities must be glorious, I want to hear about them. Sarvatrapumsam, Sutirastramasya, Nanvandita, Surubhirudvarta. The one who is hearing with great labor, the spiritual master, also have to hear about the glories of pure devotees. That is also very purifying. That will develop devotional service. So Prabhupada very nicely explained, Bhagavatam means it is full of topics about Krishna and his devotees. Both. Right? In the absolute world, there is no difference in quality between Supreme Lord and pure devotee. Therefore, hearing topics about Supreme Lord and pure devotees have the same result. Result is development of devotional service. Like that. Even hearing about some struggling sadhakas and how they are doing their bhakti gives us a lot of inspiration many times. What to speak of pure devotees like Dhruva Maharaj. So one cannot consider the topics of devotees less important compared to the topics of Krishna. Both are equally important. Okay. Prabhupada ends the purport saying, the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is simply repetition of three words. Hare, Krishna, Ram. Only three words. And bhakti devotees can go on chanting 24 hours in a day without sitting. It's difficult in the present sadhaka states, but that word is the potency. The potency to make the chanter chant 24 hours without fatigue is there in the Mahamantra, if only the chanter approaches in that consciousness. In unveiling his lotus feet, Bhurga Dev says, the inspiration of realized devotees who, due to absorption in hearing and chanting, have lost taste for eating and sleeping, offers one glimpse, right, of the potency of full immersion in spiritual atmosphere. In Bhagavatam we see Vidura or Parikshit Maharaj or Chavanaka Rishi, the hearing party, they just forget eating, sleeping also, and they just want to continue to hear. Right? So that gives us a glimpse of the potency. If one is fully immersed in spiritual sound vibration, he will just forget his bodily needs. right? He will not at all be disturbed by any bodily needs, right? That is the potency which you can offer like that. So even Prabhupada also did the same when he is translating Bhagavatam. So he hardly sleeps 2 hours in the night, and then he just spends the whole night translating Bhagavatam. So that's the absorption in spiritual sound vibration. So one cannot imitate such great personalities at this stage, but one can understand that is the potency, right? That is the potential of the spirit soul to get absorbed in spiritual sound vibration. Second verse.
Vidura uvacha kete prakekaho nama tasyatyatani surata kasyanvadaye prakhyata kutrava satramasata.
Vidura inquires from Mitra, a greatly advanced devotee, for the processors. To whose family did they belong? Whose sons were there? And where did they perform the place of
So Maitreyamuni ended this episode of Dhruva Maharaj by mentioning that Narada Muni glorified Dhruva Maharaj in the sacrifice and the processors. You must have written a question in today's exam, right? So he ended that way before offering benedictions to the hearers. So our Vidura, he just became very enthusiastic. He gave another impetus to Vidura to ask further questions. Who are these prakasas? Which family do they belong to? What is the sacrifice they have done? How come Narada Muni glorified Dhruva Maharaj in their sacrifice? I want to know about all these details. That is the next question coming. Here Guru is glorifying the disciple. Right? And one thing we can notice here is, when Narada Muni, his spiritual master, is appreciating Dhruva so much, we can understand how glorious Dhruva Maharaj's character must be. How much he must have pleased his spiritual master. Second thing, Narada Muni's non-envious attitude also is revealed here. He was not envious of his disciple, that he is making more progress. Is he surpassing me or what? No. He is like non-enviously glorifying him in his absence. Right. So glorifying the person after thousands of years means the qualities of such a person must be very glorious. Prachetas are like descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. Many generations passed. So after so many years also, so many centuries also, Narada Muni is glorifying them. So he must be very glorious. So one's respect for a person is reflected in his absence. Right? Glorifying someone in front may be easy, or we may be expecting something from him, right? That your glorification could become easy when the person is directly present. In his absence, someone is glorifying him, he must be really great. 3.
Manye Mahabhagavatam Naradam Devadarshanam Yena Proktah Kriya Yoga Paricharya Vishirhare.
Vidura continues, I know that the great sage Narada is the greatest of all devotees. He has compiled the Pancharatrika procedure of devotional service and has directly met the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Manye Mahabhagavatam. This Narada Muni, who is glorifying Guru Maharaj, is Mahabhagavat, great devotee, greatest of all devotees. Naradam Devadarshanam. Prabhupada translates this as one who has directly met Supreme Personality of Godhead. Naradam Devadarshanam. Who got the darshan of Deva, Supreme Lord? That is Devadarshanam. Even a prakta Kriya Yoga Paricharya Vidhir Hare. Kriya Yoga Paricharya Vidhir means he has given this Pancharatrika Vidhi, method of temple worship. Prabhupada says there are two different ways of approaching Supreme Lord. One is Pancharatrika Vidhi, which is temple worship, Vidhi worship. Second is Bhagavad Vidhi, which is main processes, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Sranam, etc. So, this Krishna consciousness movement accepts both of them simultaneously and facilitates one's progress in devotional life. Now, this word Devadarshanam, Narada Devadarshanah, this also comes in the 10th canto. When Narada Muni comes and meets Krishna, Krishna kills Vyomasur. he is about to kill Keshi. So in between, Narada Muni comes. Narada Muni reveals the news to Kamsa that Krishna is the son of Devaki Vasudeva, and then he will kill you, all that. So now Narada Muni comes and he informs Krishna that now you have to give a break to your Vrindavan last times, and you have to shift to Madhura. And Mathura also, there are so many devotees, you have to give your association to them. So in that context, Narada Muni is described as Devadarshana. So acharyas give different explanations why Narada Muni is described as Devadarshana. One, Narada Muni attained the perfection of seeing God, as Prabhupada gives that meaning here also, Devadarshana. That's why he is called Devadarshana. Second, getting Narada Muni's audience is as good as getting God's audience. Got it? Narada Muni got Deva's darshan, Supreme Lord's darshan, and getting Narada Muni's darshan is as good as getting Supreme Lord's darshan, because he is a pure representative of Lord. And third meaning is, Narada's audience is as good as getting the audience of demigods. Deva can also mean not only Supreme Lord, it can mean the demigods also, like that. So this shows the richness of Bhagavatam's language. Okay. Then the fourth verse. 10.36.16.
Swadharma shila purushair Bhagavan yajna purusha vidyavano bhakti mata naradene ritah kila. While all the Pandavas were executing religious rituals and practices and ceremonies, and thus worshipping the Supreme Personality of God as far as satisfaction, the great sage Narada described the transcendental qualities of Dhruva Maharaj.
So Narada Muni described about Dhruva Maharaj in their sacrifices of Prajeta. So Prabhupada says that Narada Muni not only glorifies the Lord, but he also glorifies the devotees. His mission is to broadcast devotional service. Broadcasting devotional service can happen not only by describing about Supreme Lord, but also by giving the description of his devotees. Like that. So he compiled Narada Manjaratra, a directory of devotional service, so that each of these orders, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, all of them can execute devotional service by following this system. So by executing prescribed duties, one can please Supreme Lord, one is to test the dharmasya. They are the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. So in Dhruva Maharaj's line comes Vena, Anga, his son is Vena, and his son is Prithu, and some more descendants pass, and their son is Prachinabarhi, and their sons are Prachetas. They perform austerities underwater for 10,000 years, 10 of them, which is 10 people. And after 10,000 years of austerity, 10 of them got one wife by Supreme Lord. So that all this are there in the end of 4th canto. 4.30-31 describes their activities.
Yastra devarshina tatra varnita bhagavat katha mahyam susrushave brahman kartmena chastumarhasi. My dear Brahma, how did Narada Muni look for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and what persons were displayed in that meeting? I am very eager to hear of them. Kindly explain fully about that glorification of the Lord.
So he is very eager. Prabhupada says, Bhagavatam is a record of Bhagavat Katha. Varnina Bhagavat Katha. Yastra Devarshina Tatra Varnita Bhagavat Katha. So, what Vidura was anxious to hear, we can also hear after 5,000 years. Right? Probably we are eager. Prabhupada says, Mahyam Sushrushave Brahman. Right? Sushrushave means very eager to hear. So the eagerness is the quality which Prabhupada is emphasizing here. So one may have access to books, lectures, prasadam, temple, duties, etc., so many other things. But if he has no eagerness to take advantage of them, he is almost as good as a person who has no access to them. Eagerness is the quality that makes one take advantage of all these facilities. So when there is no appetite, even if there is a Japan book, it's not of much use to the person. So something like that. Prabhupada says, provided we are very eager. Susrushave Brahman. Tanu Maitreya is answering. Maitreya uvacha dhruvasthetat kalah putra pitari prasthite vanam sarvabhauma shriyam naichyat adhirajasanam pitu.
The Guru Sri Nathuri replied, my dear Vidhu, when Maharaj Guru departed for the forest, his son Utpal did not desire to accept the opulent throne of his father. It was meant for the ruler of all the lands of this planet.
So, Pracheta, sir, actually, Maitreya, Vidura's questions are about Pracheta. What family is that, and etc. So, to give a introduction to who are Prachetas, so he is starting from Dhruva's descendants. Dhruva's immediate descendants, Utkala. So that's how the story begins. So who are Prachetas, that will be answered at the end of 4th canto. Their activities will come at the end of 4th canto. So now this is the 13th chapter. Till 31 chapter answer will continue. Like that. Now Utkala. So Dhruva Maharaj's son is Utkala. And he has no desire to accept any kingdom. Right? He is not at all interested in political affairs. So his qualities are described in the next three verses, 7, 8, 9. Sajanmanobhajantatma Nistanga Samadarsana Dadarsalobhya Vitakam Atmanam Lokamatmani.
From his very birth, Utkal was fully satisfied and unattached to the world. He was equipoised, for he could see everything resting in the super soul and the super soul present in everyone's heart.
Sir, this person Utkala, Janmana Upasantatma. Janmana, since birth only, he has all these qualities. Five qualities are mentioned in this verse. Upasantatma, very satisfied soul. He satisfied. Then Nistanga, no attachment. Very detached person. Samadarshanaha, equiposed. Dadarsha loke vitakam atmanam. Dadarsha loke vitakam atmanam. Means, atmanam here is referring to the super soul. He saw the super soul spread all over the world. Right? Means, everyone's heart is having the presence of super soul. Dadarsha loke vitakam atmanam. Super soul is all pervading, right? The all pervading nature of super soul in everyone's heart is perceived by Utkala. Then fifth quality is Lokam Atmani. Lokam Atmani. Atmani here is again super soul. And the whole Loka, entire world, he saw resting on the super soul. He saw super soul all pervading in the heart of every living entity. Also, he saw the whole world resting on the super soul. So that is his vision. These are the symptoms of Mahabhagavat. Prabhupada says, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvantra Majam Hai Pashyati. Prabhupada quotes all that. And Mayatatamitam Sarvam Jagadavyatya Murtina. So everything is resting on the Supreme Lord. That doesn't mean everything is Supreme Lord. Right? So Mahabhagavata's spirit, his vision is, he sees the same Paramatma in everyone's heart, regardless of their different material forms. Their forms may be different, but inside there is super soul. That he understands. And he experiences the Supreme Lord's presence everywhere. Means, Bhagavad Gita verse, never missing from the sight of the Supreme Lord, nor is the Supreme Lord ever lost from his sight. That is the advanced stage of love of Godhead. So it refers to Utkala or a Mahabhagavad devotee's overwhelming desire to see Supreme Lord everywhere. So, lesson till when people may misunderstand him. So here Pashyat means not literally that he sees Krishna from everywhere. He sees everything in relation to Krishna. If he sees a person, he understands. He is part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is staying in his heart as super soul. If you see some object, it is energy of Krishna. It can be utilized in Krishna's service. That is the vision of the Mahabhagavata. Mm-hmm. So we understand from the 10th canto that Krishna is the dearmost object of every soul, every living entity. In Brahma Mohan Lila we see all the gopis, they love Krishna more than their own sons. All the cows loved Krishna more than their own calves. And when Krishna came as their cows, as their calves, or as their sons, their love for their sons increased, million times greater than their original sons. Right? Means, by default, every living entity loves Krishna the most, more than anyone else. Right? So when someone loves Krishna, he sees everything in relation to Krishna. Right? He wants everyone to love Krishna. Right? He sees the potential of every soul, he is the part and parcel of Krishna, to love Krishna. So he wants to utilize every object in service of Krishna. So that is the vision of the Mahabhagavata. And if you see someone not loving Krishna or not serving Krishna, he feels compassion for them. And he tries to bring them to their original constitutional position. So all this eco-friendliness or preaching, environmentalism, when a devotee is involved in all this, understand that it is the manifestation of that devotee's love for Krishna. Like that. A social activist or environmentalist, so they may be apparently doing the same, but there is a gulf of difference between a devotee preaching to people, or devotee protecting the environment, or environmentalist protecting the environment, or he doing philanthropy. So there is a lot of difference. Right. Then further qualities of Utkala are mentioned in 8th and 9th verses. Atmanam Brahma Nirvanam Pratyastamita Vigraham Avabodha Rasai Katmyam Anandam Manusankatam Avyavachinna Yogadmi Daddha Karma Amalasaya Svarupam Agarundhano Natmano Anyam Tadaichata.
The expansion of his knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, he had already attained liberation from the bondage of the body. This liberation is known as Nirvana. He was situated in transcendental bliss, and he continued always in that blissful existence, which expanded more and more. This was possible for him by continual practice of Bhakti Yoga. It is compared to fire because it burns away all dirty material things. He was always situated in his constitutional position of self-realization, and he could not see anything else but the Supreme Lord and himself engaged in discharging devotional service.
So he, in a sense, he was situated in his original constitutional position as the servant of the Supreme Lord. He realized that his position, what is his actual position. Prabhupada rewrote this translation on this in the purport, right, with some quotations. He quotes Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, Keto Darpanam Arjunam. Bhakti Yoga is the topmost yoga system, right, and chanting is the foremost activity of Bhakti Yoga. Right? But through this, one can attain Nirvana. Nirvana means liberation from material existence, right, and increase one's blissful life and spiritual existence. These are some of the things mentioned in this verse. So Prabhupada quotes Keto Darpanam Arjunam. He says, you chant, right, and you attain Nirvana, means your material contamination will be purified, Keto Darpanam Arjunam. Then Anandambhavi Arjunam, you will attain spiritual bliss, right, and you will lose interest in anything material, Virakti Ranyatra Syat. So advancement in devotional service is guaranteed, and once you advance in devotional service, then there is a detachment from material opulence and material activity, Parandrishtha Anivartati, higher taste, Prabhupada. So every conditioned soul is full of reactions of past life, but all dirty things are immediately burnt to ashes if one simply executes devotional service, Sarvopadhyam or Muktam. Like that. So bhakti is a process. Pareshanubhava means experiencing great spiritual bliss, that is the internal symptom. And virakti means detachment, that is the external symptom. all the material desires are burned to ashes. Means he is developing detachment that is manifested externally, and internally he feels great bliss, anandamrita-vardhanam, by following the process of bhakti. So that is explained here. So that is about Utkala's condition. Now he is more interested to take charge of throne, kingdom.
Jadandha vidhironmatta muktakritur atanmati mokakritur atanmati lakshitah patibalanam prashantatsur yuvanala. Uttal appears to the less intelligent persons on the road to be foolish, blind, dumb, deep and mad. Although actually he was not so, he would remain like fire covered with ashes, without blazing flames.
So Utkala, although he is so advanced and internally, he refused to reveal his elevated devotional consciousness to people in general, only to avoid any materialistic interactions and other entanglements. So he remained like a jada. What is the best? Dumb, blind, mad. He remained like that, foolish. It's like Jadabharat also gives similar kind of symptoms in 5th canto. Okay. He remained he was like covered with ashes without blazing flames. Like we are saying about covering. Like apparently he seemed something else, but internally he is something else. So Prabhupada says there are two types of people, devotees, Gosthyanandi and Bhajanandi. Right? Gosthyanandi means he is absorbed in his own bhajan. He doesn't want to interact with the non-devotees and other people. But Bhajanandi means he is definitely an advanced devotee, but he is also very kind to other people, and he wants others also to become devotees. That is Bhajanandi. And the best Bhajanandi is the Gosthyanandi. The best Gosthyanandi becomes a good Bhajanandi. Means one who internally relishes Harikatha, and he does his sadhana very good, very nicely. So he can preach to others. The best Gosthyanandi is a Bhajanandi who preaches nicely. Gaurakesha Das Babaji said, Kaliya people are so degraded, and out of his humility, he said, I cannot deliver them. And he wanted to remain as a Bhajanandi. Like that. So he thought that association of materialists means it's like even worse than the smell of toilet. So he just chose to remain as a Bhajanandi. 11th verse.
Matratam jalamunnattam kulavruddha samantrina vatsaram bhupatim chakrur yaviyamsam brahmesvitam.
For this reason, the ministers and all the elderly members of the family thought Utkala to be without intelligence and in fact mad. Thus, his younger brother, named Vatsara, the son of Brahmi, was elevated to the royal throne, and he became king of the world.
So because Utkala, although he is an elder son, he is behaving like this, foolish, blind, dumb, etc. So he authorities, right, elderly members, so they thought that he is not fit for the royal throne, and then they choose his younger brother, Vatsara, as the king. It's like Dhritarashtra was there, although he is the elder brother, he is blind. So Pandu, the younger brother, was made king. And then when Pandu died, Dhritarashtra was made king, because there is no other option. So democracy, this monarchy, Prabhupada says, it appears that although there was monarchy, it was not at all an autocracy. There are always some senior family members and ministers and some sages who can always participate in discussions to take a call. Who can be elected as king? What has to be done in this kind of situation, political situation? All this will happen. So there were senior family members and ministers who could make changes and elect the proper person to the throne, although the throne could be occupied only by the royal family. So one extreme is to take everybody's opinion, right? That is what? Democracy. Everyone can vote. So Prabhupada just chastises this whole system of democracy left, right, center. Right? Shudras are voting Shudras, and the person who is elected is a fool and he cannot rule properly. So Prabhupada just comments very heavily on that. And other extreme is just autocracy, monopoly, whatever I say, multi. That's what we are not in the next chapter. But there are a set of qualified people who can make decisions. Not everyone can make decisions, and not that decision is made by only one person. Decision can be made by a set of people who are qualified. Sarvetir vacharasyeshta
bharyasuta shadatmadam pushtarnam stigmaketumcha hisham urjam vasum jayam.
King Vatsara had a very dear wife whose name was Sarviti, and she gave birth to six sons named Pusparna, Tigmattu, Isha, Urja, Vasu, and Jaya.
Six sons. All are there in the six sons. All are Jaya. Jaya. Yes. Ishta, which means worshipable. If both husband and wife are endowed with good qualities and live peacefully, then nice children take birth, and then the whole family is happy and prosperous. So Prabhupada, in several contexts like this, he glorifies an ideal Krishna conscious household life.
Pushparanasya prabhat bharya doshachadve bahuvata pratar madhyam dinam sayam itihyasan prabhasuta pradosho anujito vyascha itidosha sutastraya yushta sutam pushkarunyam sarve teja samadhe satakshustatamakutyam patnyam manum avapaha manartasota mahishi virajan nadvalasutam purum kutsam tritam jyomnam satyavantam vritam vritam adhnushtomam atiratram pradyumnam sirimul matkam ulmokodayat putran pushkarinyam sharuttaman angam samanasam khyatim kratam angira sangayam.
Pushparna had two wives named Prabha and Dosha. Prabha had three sons named Pratar, Madhyadinam, and Sayam. Dosha had three sons, Pradosha, Nishita, and Vishat. Vishata's wife was named Pushkarini, and she gave birth to a very powerful son named Sarvateja. Sarvateja's wife, Akuti, gave birth to a son named Chakshusha, who became the sixth Manu at the end of the Manu millennium. Nadvala, the wife of Chakshusha Manu, gave birth to the following alternate sons: Puru, Kutsa, Trita, Jumna, Satyavan, Rita, Vrata, Agnishtoma, Atirastra, Pradyumna, Shibi, Ulmaka. Of the 12 sons, Ulmaka began 6 sons in his wife Pushkarini, They were all very good sons, and their names were Anga, Sumana, Jati, Pratu, Angira, and Gaya.
So we came till Anga. So from here on, till this point, he is just summarizing over the descendants without elaborating on their story. Sunitangasya Patni Sushuve Venamulbanam Yaddau Sulayachara Gatshir Nirvino Nivaratpurat.
The wife of Anga, Sunita, gave birth to a son named Vena, who was very crooked. The saintly king Anga was very disappointed with Vena's bad character, and he left home and kingdom and went out to the forest.
So, in the next 2-3 verses, Maitreya Muni summarizes the whole story of Anga. Then Vidura wanted to elaborate on it, and he elaborates in the next one chapter. Yamangase puh kupita Vagvajra munagakila Gatasostasya bhojaste Mamantur dakshinam karam Arajate tadaloka Dasyubhi padita praja Jato narayanam sena Prithur Adya Hakshitishwara.
My dear Vidur, when great sages curse, their words are as invincible as a thunderbolt. Thus, when they cursed King Vena out of anger, he died. After his death, since there was no king, all the rogues and thieves fled. The kingdom became unregulated, and all the citizens suffered greatly. On seeing this, the great sages took the right hand of Vena as his churning rod, and as a result of their churning, Lord Vishnu in his partial representation made his advent in King Pratu, the original emperor of the world.
So, Vak Vajraha means whose words are as strong as thunderbolt. So, because of great sages curse, right, and their words are like invincible as a thunderbolt, so Vena was died, right, and then eventually Prithu Maharaj took birth. So he summarized the whole story here. The monarchy is better than democracy because if the monarchy is very strong, the regulative principles within the kingdom are upheld very nicely. So Prabhupada gives an example that when there is monarchy, and when the king administers a very strong punishment, for example, if there is a thief, because he committed a theft, king will just cut off his two arms. Then, hearing this news, nobody will dare to commit any theft. So that is the way of monarchy, and severe punishment was there, and there are practically no theft cases in the kingdom. Right? Even if something is left on the street, people will not pick it up. Right? So, like that. Then Vidura is asking a question. You summarize the whole story in just 2-3 verses. I want an elaboration. He asks three questions. Vidura uvacha tasya silaidhes sadhor brahmanyasya mahatmanah rajnah katham abhudhishta prajayat vimana yayau.
My dear Brahmana, King Anga was very gentle. He had high character and was a saintly personality and lover of Brahminical culture. How is it that such a great soul could abandon someone like Vena? Because of whom he became indifferent to the thief kingdom and left it.
So first question, Anga is a very great king, he is a devotee. How could he have such a bad son? That is the first question. So Prabhupada, and because of the bad son, he got frustrated and then he left home. So, Prabhupada explained, there are some enemies at home also. Okay, he quotes Chanakya Pandit. A father, mother, child, wife, they also can be enemies. A father is an enemy, it is in debt. Right? And the son has to just clear the debt made by the father, he is like an enemy only. Then the mother is an enemy if she marries second time. The wife is an enemy if she is very beautiful. And fourth, the son is an enemy if he is a fool. Right? If he is not at all knowledgeable. So that is, there are four kinds of enemies at home also. According to Vedic culture, one has to take leave from family members just after his 50th year. So one should not stick to this kind of family life. And eventually things will reveal that if there are some enemies like this at home also, that is very helpful for a person to retire from family life soon and develop feelings of detachment.
Kimvamhovena uddishya Brahmadandam ayuvijan Dandavrata hare rajni Manayo dharma kovidaha.
Vidura also inquired, how is it that the great sages who are completely conversant with the religious principles desire to curse King Vena, who himself carried the rod of punishment and thus awarded him the greatest punishment, Brahma Sata?
Second question. First question is, how could a good king have a bad son? Second question, how can great sages who are supposed to give guidance to the king, curse the king to die? So how could the sages kill a king? How can a brahmana kill a kshatriya? That is a king. So that is the second question. So sages are supposed to be very tolerant.
Right.
Still, they punished them in spite of their elevated religious consciousness. So Prabhupada nicely makes an observation. It appears that king was not independent of the Brahmanical culture. When king is sitting on the throne, that doesn't mean everything happens on king's will only. He is guided by the Brahmanas. And Brahmanas, if it is required, they can even dethrone the king also. Or enthrone the king also. That's what this whole Vena episode reveals. Vena episode reveals the superiority of Brahmanas over Kshatriyas also. Although they are ruling party and they are just some sages sitting in some hermitages or under some tree. They have the highest power. They are the top class of human society, that is very much revealed. Above the king was the control of Brahmanas, and if needed, the Brahmanas would beat from the king and kill him also. Not with a weapon, but the mantra or a Brahma shak. So that is the power of kings. And we can understand, in spite of having such a power, Brahmanas are not at all attached to kingdom in those days. They never wanted to sit on the throne. Right? They are aware that material opulence is not conducive for our spiritual life. They will just give some spiritual guidance. Right? How to run the kingdom, what consciousness is under. But they are not sitting on the throne. So they take the responsibility, but they don't take any facility. But modern days, you see, Brahmanas have neither power, nor responsibility, nor detachment. So nothing. And Kshatriyas, they are not obedient to Brahmanas. They don't protect Brahmanas also. So, yes, so.
We have seen in this pastime when many similar pastimes we see, Brahmanas are positioned above the Kshatriyas, as we concluded also.
Mm.
One is that they have an actual affection for, or the appreciation for the Brahmanical class, and therefore they all abide by them because they are elevated. But the other possible problem or reason is because they are very powerful. Brahmanas are like, you know, that when Vishwamitra goes to Dashrath, then Vasishtha Muni explains him that he is very powerful. You hand over your son to him. So another reason is that Brahmanas are very powerful, and Kshatriya has his army and everything, but the Brahmana has mantra, very subtle science, by which he can destroy the whole kingdom also. So naturally they are positioned higher, because ultimately might is right. But in this case it is not a very favorable exception, but because they are powerful, then they will die. Now in our case, Kaliyuga, Brahmanas don't have power. So we are trying to revive Brahmanical culture with the Brahmanas who don't have power, only guiding. Then how is it possible?
So the power that Prabhupada emphasizes is power to spread Krishna consciousness here. So the guidance should come from scripture, and Brahmana's role is to spread chanting of Hare Krishna and all that. So Prabhupada emphasizes in that light always, not that in front of his Brahmanical power, his Kshatriya military power is useless. So that kind of power Prabhupada never emphasized. Although in Vedic days, that kind of superiority of power is also existing in Brahmanas, but here mainly is preaching.
That is always there when the devotees that we have. But without any prayer, generally nobody expects another person as superior. When he doesn't hear powerful, you know. That is how so not everybody understands the at intellectual level that, you know, oh, this is goal of life. Krishna consciousness, these are all for a very small set of people.
Mm.
Most of the masses understand, like, you know, even he has administered such that if somebody kills, then there is immediately cutting of the hand.
Mm.
So most of the people understand threat and punishment.
Mm.
Not everybody understands with love and intelligence and logic.
Mm. So what are
we just the intellectual and inspirational task to get to Krishna consciousness will be falling short of setting up a Brahmanically driven, you know, or country administration.
Yeah, that could be true. So I request Prabhuji to comment something on that.
There are instances in the scriptures where something did not accept the authority of Brahmanas also, because something could be irreligious thing. So they would tell the Brahmanas, just be quiet, you know, I will do what I want. There have been some examples like that also, like Duryodhana, for example. You know, they didn't pay any heed to Duryodhana. In the same manner, if the government is a religious government headed by a pious king who is a Rajarshi, then you will pay heed to the vote of Brahmanas, you know, who gives him religious advice to run the country very nicely. And the Brahma Tejas is superior to Kshatriya Tejas, undoubtedly, from a spiritual point of view. But physically, the Brahmanas are weaker, and the Kshatriyas are stronger. In fact, Mahabharata, I was reading, there are some wars between Brahmana and Kshatriyas also sometimes. Then things go haywire. In modern times, we find ISKCON has such intelligence here, but the political rules is unable to take advantage. You know, the Brahmanas are running the show on their own, preaching Krishna consciousness, and the government is looting the public money, and, you know, so that has been our government for decades actually like that. So either the Kshatriyas cut the Brahmanas, or the Brahmanas took Kshatriyas nicely advised, it is an ideal situation, or they are independent. Brahmanas are taking care of their own Sadharma and Kshatriyas are doing their own thing. There is no connection. It can happen like that. But ideal Vedic society is that Raja Rishi. The Raja is kindly guided by Brahmanas. That's the idea. In this case, what we were talking just now is, Vena subdued the Brahmanas and told them, you cannot worship any demigod. You cannot worship Supreme Lord. I am the Lord, he was telling. So he was subduing like that. It means sometimes the king takes the whole control on himself and makes the Brahmin do a very much issue for killing all the cows and everything. You read also that. It is a very unfortunate government. Like in the study, the end also is going to come like that. Many such things will come in future also. It's unfortunate. Yeah. And also, if a king is not tribal dress enough, then he may promote only Brahmin culture without controlling thieves and rogues. Like who is son of Prithu? What's his name? Son of Prithu, Vijitasura. He ruled for a very short time. Because he was not sufficiently tribal dress ruled. He was very soft natured. Even Indra was forgiven. So he could not rule for long time. So the Brahmanas want to bring law and order in society to a Kshatriya who is obedient to the Brahminical teaching. So, yeah, like he is saying now, ISKCON has such wonderful intelligence, they are not able to reach. So Brahmanas should be able to reach the Kshatriyas and inspire them. Yeah. Only when they are inspired Kshatriya, Brahmana, just like the example in 10th canto, you know, when lightning comes in a cloud, when the cloud pours, you know, so the cloud is compared to a rich Jamindar, who speaks to the Krishna-conscious devotee who releases his khajana for the welfare of building temple, you know, or like serving thousands of people prasadam and things like that. So this means the duty of the brahmana to reach out to the kshatriyas and vaishyas and inspire them spiritually so that they can use their, you know, strength, they can use their money, everything. So it can till now has not been able to reach the doors of the politicians so successfully till now. But it is eventually going to happen because the way our project is becoming popular now everywhere. You know, people are taking notice. And also the current Prime Minister has given a declaration that anybody wants to give me ideas regarding ruling the country, you know, you are free to suggest me in my website also. That's good. So I was there in a recent meeting, an IOC meeting, when there is an Indra Krishna Prabhu in our ISKCON. So he was actually in politics before. Then he became a devotee in ISKCON. So he is very actively connecting with the PM and everything and all. So someday, Prabhupada's leadership, you know, suggestions given in the pages of Bhagavatam will come to surface when leaders realize, they will understand the future.
నావధ్యేయః ప్రజాపాల ప్రజాభిరథవానపి జగతో లోకపాలానాం విభర్త్యోజస్వ తేజస.
It is the duty of all the citizens in a state never to insult the king, even though he sometimes appears to have done something very sinful. Because of his prowess, the king is always more influential than all other dominions.
So, citizens, so first question is, how can a good king have a son like Vena? Second is, how can great sages curse him to death? Third is, how can the citizens who can never insult a king disregard him at this point? So king is supposed to be the representative of the Supreme Lord. He is called Naranarayan, not Naranarayan Rishi. He is like Narayana among the Naras. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Indicating that Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in the human society as king. And the Brahmanas are considered Naradevatas. 24. మే బ్రహ్మన్ సునీతాత్మజ చేష్టితం శ్రద్ధధానాయ భక్తాయ సంపరావర విత్తమ.
విజయ రిక్వెస్టెడ్ మైత్రేయ. మై డియర్ బ్రహ్మన్, యూఆర్ వెల్ కన్వర్సెంట్ విత్ ఆల్ సబ్జెక్ట్స్ బోత్ పాస్ట్ అండ్ ఫ్యూచర్. Therefore, I wish to hear from you all the activities of King Vena and your faithful devotees. So please explain this.
And your faithful devotees, Sardhadhanaya Bhaktaya. So Prabhupada again comments on the
then even in 8th chapter, 5th chapter, 3rd chapter also, Sardhalave, that will also come. Vidura on this. Vidura is described as Sardhalave.
Third question is there, no? In the 23rd citizens. How can citizens disregard the king?
Everything must say to Brahmana, my dear Brahmana.
Okay.
Okay,
good observation. The disciple always inquires from spiritual master. The spiritual master answers the question, provided the disciple is very gentle and devoted. So Prabhupada quotes is that Vidhi Panipadena, Pariprasthena Sevata. So devotee should be submissive, disciple should be submissive, and place relevant inquiries and offer service to the spiritual master. 25. Maitreya is beginning to answer. Maitreya Uvacha.
అంగోష్టమేఘం రాజర్షి ఆజహార మహాకృతం నాజిగ్ముర్దేవతాస్తస్మిన్ ఆహూత బ్రహ్మవాదిది.
Shri Mitra replied, "My dear Vibhuda, once the great King Anga arranged to perform the great sacrifice known as Ashtamedha. All the expert Brahmanas present knew how to invite the demigods, but in spite of their efforts, no demigod participated or appeared in the sacrifice."
So, our Maitreya is beginning with Anga's sacrifice. He was doing the sacrifice, and demigods are not coming and taking part in the sacrifice or offering their prayers also. So, Prabhupada begins to comment how Vedic sacrifice is not ordinary. Even demigods also come and participate in them, and sometimes animals are sacrificed in them, but they are given new life by the power of mantra. Right? So, although the Vedic sacrifices are not ordinary, they are like very powerful. At the same time, any discrepancies done in the sacrifice can cause the sacrifices to fail completely. So, in Kali Yuga, one cannot offer this kind of sacrifices. The only sacrifice recommended for Kali Yuga people is Sankirtan Yajna. Right? Proper concludes like that. Kausa kill means immediately they are given next life, another life. So they are, sacrifice means not killing an animal, it's like giving it a better life. Okay? Those who are sacrificing an animal there have the power to revive them to life. So now it is abundant. It is sacrifice, no? It's mentioned. Ashtamedham, Gavalambam, Gomedham. Only two animals. Ashtamedham? Only two animals which I know at least. Buffalo. Buffalo sacrifice.
Samochar Vishnutas Tatra యజమానం అథర్విజ హవింషి హూయమానాని నతే గృహణంతి దేవతాః.
The priest engaged in the sacrifice and in fasting on opening, they are properly offering the clarified Gada in the sacrifice. But despite all our efforts, the demigods do not accept it.
So priests are complaining, telling the king, reporting to the king. Demigods are not accepting the share.
Rajan Havim Shadhishtani Shraddhayasa Adhyatanite Chandamsi Ayata Yamani Yojitani Dhritavratehi.
Talking. We know that the paraphernalia to perform the sacrifice is well collected by you with great faith and care and is not polluted. Our chanting of the Vedic hymns is also not deficient in any way. For all the brahmanas and priests present here are experts and are executing the performances properly.
So, there could be discrepancies. Sacrifice can be a failure if the ingredients are not collected in a pure way, or if the mantras are not chanted properly. So such discrepancies are not there in this sacrifice. Still, they are not coming. So Prabhupada speaks about the discrepancies. So many times this right pronunciation is required. So in Madhuri Kadamani also explained that in Ved, Madhuri Kadamani while explaining the superiority of Bhakti Yoga over Jnana process, Yoga process, Karma process, other processes. So it explains, especially about Karma Kanda. In Vedic mantras, they have to be chanted in a specific meter. Udartha, Anudartha, Swarita. You see, Purushottam, they chant
Sahasrashirsha, Purushaha, so there is like Udartha, there is like, you have to stress it very less. Purushaha, so you have to stress it more. Right? Devihi, Sastirashtunaha, that is called Saritam. You have to pronounce it for two syllable time. Right? Like double time. Devihi. So that kind of pronunciation, if it is not there, proper pronunciation is not there, then it could cause negative effect. For example, we have this example of first, sixth canto. He did a sacrifice. Indra Chatruhu, that is the way he has to pronounce. So he pronounced that Indra Chatruhu in such a way that what he meant is he has to produce a person who can kill Indra. But because of his wrong pronunciation, he gave birth to a son who is killed by Indra. He is supposed to kill Indra, became supposed to be killed by Indra because of wrong pronunciation. So such is the nature of karmakandic sacrifices. Right? Okay, that's right. Udartha and Lata said that only. International. Okay. So, catching the technical difference. That is the proper karmakanda. His Prabhupada describes that here. And not this, your pointing out is correct. Prabhupada says in chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, so it's not very pure in practical life. So by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one can attend the highest benefit of psychological performances. Even if the Hare Krishna mantra is not chanted properly, it has so much potency that the chanter gains effect. So, somebody was chanting some Upanishad mantras or something, and some Indian, you know, orthodox, somebody pointed out their disciples' pronunciation is not proper. Then Prabhupada replied, their renunciation is proper. So, although their pronunciation is not proper. So, our Bhagavad Kadamani says, if while executing this karmakanda process, if a person commits the slightest mistake in observing the rules and regulations, it can result in very negative and inauspicious influences. However, glorifying the process of Bhakti Yoga, he quotes a verse from Vishnu Dharmottara. It says, Nadeta Niyamastatra Nakala Niyamastata Nochishtadav Vishodasya Sri Harir Namani Libdaka. In the matter of chanting the holy name or executing other processes of devotional service, there are no hard and fast rules, dependent on time, place, circumstance. So karmakandic rituals are very much dependent on time, place and circumstance. Muhurta. Right? In fact, one can chant the holy name even in a contaminated state. So that is how Vishnu Dharmottara mentions. So bhakti is not dependent on such external. However, one should not neglect them. If he has the ability to pronounce properly, he has to pronounce. He can pronounce. If he doesn't have the ability, some cannot pronounce Rama, they may pronounce Lama. But the mood is counted, not the pronunciation so much. So, like that. Navidame Hadevanam Veranam Vayamanvati Yanna Krishnanti Bhagam Swan Yedeva Karma Sakshina.
Dear King, we do not find any reason that the demigods should be insulted or neglected in any way. But still the demigods who are witnesses for the sacrifice do not accept their share. We do not know why this is so.
So, Prabhupada explains, if there is a negligence on the part of the priest, the demigods do not accept their share. And Prabhupada connects this to Seva Aparad. Seva Aparad. Even in our worshipping of deities in the temple, Radha Krishna deities in the temple, there are so many offenses which NOD describes. Very instructive statements by the deity department especially. If we simply make a show of offering services to the deity, but do not fear for Seva Aparad,
Secondly, the Radha Krishna deity will not accept offerings from such non-devotees. Very heavy. Devotees engaged in temple worship should not, therefore, manufacture their own method, but should strictly follow the regulative principles of cleanliness, and then offerings will be accepted. So, so basically, bhakti is basically the consciousness. Right? If we have the consciousness of serving Krishna, we will be conscious of several details. Punctuality, cleanliness, this and that. Right? We will be careful in whatever activity we do. Because love manifests in attention to details, as Maharaj also mentions. So the independent nature of bhakti, described in the Shastras or Madhuri Kadam or many other literatures, is definitely a glorification of bhakti, but it's not a license or encouragement for the practitioner to underperform. Or it's not encouraging them not to improve themselves. Right? So there could be five moods in Seva Prada. Last time once Radhika Vallaprabhu shared this. One, duty versus especially, negligence in spite of ability. Negligence in spite of ability. Although he has ability to perform certain service, do it very nicely, still he will neglect to give some quality. Second, disrespect in front of duty. Third, impurity. Means worshipping the deities in an impure state of body or mind. So one has to take bath before entering the deity room, altar. So although he has not taken bath, just has some rasgulla and then he just enters inside, that's not the right. Very seva prak. Fourth is lack of determination to worship the Lord with proper concentration. Definitely our mind becomes restless. Still we should endeavor to bring it back and focus on the service that we are doing. Whatever, we may be chanting some mantras while offering bhoga, right? While Manas Puja we are doing, but Manas is going everywhere, so we have to bring it back. So, we have to be determined to control it. First one is negligence, instead of having ability. Last one is pride. If at all, we could manage to do the first four and then we do perfectly, we should not become proud. That, oh, I managed to do so. I am the best pujari or whatever, best kalakar. So, thinking himself that he can do things in a best way. So, these are kind of five moods of seva brahman. Okay, next verse 28, 29. Oh, very nice. We'll put in notice word there.
మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ అంగోద్విజవచ శ్రుత్వా యజమాన సుదుర్మణః తత్ప్రష్టుం వ్యసృజద్వాచం సదస్యాం సదనుజ్ఞయా. మైత్రేయ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ దట్ ఇన్ అంగ After hearing the statements of the priest, Vajradhu agreed. At that time, he took permission from the priest to break his silence and inquired from all the priests who were present in the sacrificial arena.
So it seems that Yajamani, or the sponsor of the sacrifice, is supposed to do some onvrat. He should not speak. But it's a very special case. So he took permission from the priest and spoke. We'll take a break. Then we'll continue.
नागच्छन्ति हुता देव न गृह्णन्ति गृहाणि तदसस्पतयो भूत किमद्वयं मया कृतम्.
माय डियर प्रीस, काइंडली टेल मी व्हाट ऑफेंस आई हैव कमिटेड. Although invited, the demigods are neither taking part in the sacrifice nor accepting their shares.
So he asked them, what is the reason? Then they replied, Sadasaspataya Uchuhu Naraveha Bhavato Nagham Tavanmanakthitam Astyetam Pratanam Agham यदि भेदृत्वम् प्रजा.
The head priest said, O king, in this life we do not find any sinful activity even within your mind. So you are not in the least offensive. But we can see that in your previous life you perform sinful activities due to which, in spite of your having all qualifications, you have no son.
So नरदेवः भवतो न अघम् तावन् मनाक्षितम्. यू हैव नॉट कमिटेड ए सिंगल ऑफेंस, सिंगल सिन इन दिस लाइफ, इन दिस होल लाइफ यू हैव नॉट कमिटेड ए सिन. मनाक्षितम् इवन इन माइंड, राइट, यू हैव नॉट ऑफेंसिव, बट इन सम प्रीवियस लाइफ यू हैव कमिटेड समथिंग, राइट. So because of that we don't have a son, and that is the reason why people are not coming, demigods are not coming to accept the share. So apparently somebody may seem innocent or faultless, but there must be something, some reason behind everything that is happening. As yesterday Prabhu was elaborating, there must be some reason, some previous account. So in this life there is no mistake on Anga's part, but previous life there is some simple reaction because of that we didn't have a son. Right. So nothing happens without reason, although sometimes the reasons are unknown. So in unveiling his lotus feet, or Murugan Prabhu says, priest suggested that, so at this point, priest was suggesting Anga, now you can stop this sacrifice because demigods are not coming. You conduct another sacrifice. What it is the format is, first they will, the sacrificer, he will satisfy the demigods, and demigods, their presence is evoked, and when the demigods are present, then they will call Supreme Personality of Godhead. But instead, you directly call Supreme Personality of Godhead now, perform a sacrifice for his benefit, then he will give you a son. And then you can perform a sacrifice. So that is the process that they suggested. Now he didn't have a son. Prabhupada says, the purpose of marrying is to beget a son. Because a son is necessary to deliver the father and forefather from any hellish condition life. Without a son, married life is simply abominable, Chanakya Pandit says. Right? And if a person is not having a son, that is because of his previous life sin. So that's how Prabhupada mentions.
तथा साधय भद्रंते आत्मानं सुप्रजं वृत इष्टस्ते पुत्र कामस्य पुत्रं दास्यति यज्ञ भुक्।
Taking this all good practice for you, you have noticed that if you pray at once to the Supreme Lord and ask for a son, and if you execute the sacrifice for that purpose, the enjoyer of the sacrifice, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it fulfills your desire.
Vitram Dachati Yajna Bhuk. Yajna Bhuk, Lord of Yajna Bhuk, enjoyer of sacrifice, he will give you the result. Tathasya Bhaga Dheyani Grahishyanti Divaukasa Yajna Puru Sastaksat Apatyaya Hari Srita.
When Hari, the Supreme Enjoyer of all sacrifices, is invited to fulfill your desired person, all the demigods will come with him and take their shares in the sacrifice.
So, a sacrifice is meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Ignatat Karmananyata Lokoyam Karma Bandhana 3.9. So, it is meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord, and he is the enjoyer of sacrifices. So, he is addressed as Yajna Bhuk, Yajna Purusha. The sacrifices performed are meant for Lord Vishnu, not for the demigods. Tamstan Kaman Harir Dadyan Yanyan Kamayate Jana Aradhito Yathaivaisha Tatha Pumsam Phalodaya.
The partner of sacrifice and the karmakanda activity achieves the fulfillment of the desire for which he worships the Lord.
So, this is about a karmakandi performer of sacrifices. So, Prabhupada gives a difference between karmi and a bhakta, devotee, in the whole purport. So, Supreme Lord, Ethanam Prabhajante Tansagrava Bhajamiham. Supreme Lord reciprocates according to the worshipper's desire. So, the fruitive actor enjoys only the fruits of his own activities, but the devotee, under the guidance of Supreme Lord, simply advances in devotional service to achieve ultimate goal, back to Godhead. So, Kaman, which means sense gratificative desire. But the devotee has no sense gratificative desire. He is Anyabhilashita Sunya. So, that is the difference between a fruitive worker and a devotee. It is Yavasita Vipras Tasya Rajna Prajate Purodasam Niravatam Sudhi Vishtasya Vishnave.
Just for the sake of Vishnu, Bhaktin Anga, they decided to offer obligations to Lord Vishnu, who is situated in the hearts of all living entities.
So another name of Vishnu is mentioned, Sukhivishtaya. Sukhivishta means he is present in the sacrificial fire. And he is also present in the hearts of every living entity. So, experiment to observe whether the Vedic mantra, when some animals are sacrificed, they are revived by the power of mantra. So, like this. 36. Tasmat Purusha Uttasthau Hema Malyam Balam Hema Malyam Alam Bala Hiranyamayena Patrena Siddham Adaya Pajasam.
As soon as the oblation was offered in the fire, a person appeared from a fire altar wearing a golden garland and a white dress. He was carrying a golden pot filled with a rice boiled in a milk.
Siddham Adaya Payasam. The personality came with sweet rice here. Rice boiled in milk, that is Payasam. Savitranu Matoraja Grihitvanjali Naudanam Avagrahya Mudayutta Radat Patnya Udaradhi.
The king was very liberal
and after taking permission from the priest, he took the preparation in his joint palm. And after smelling it, he offered a portion to his wife.
So here, he took the payasam, then the vipranu mato raja, with the permission of the sages. Then, praga tatya udaradhi. He is udaradhi, very liberal. Liberal minded person. So he gave it to his patni, his wife. Right? So what is so significant of this word udaradhi? Why is he liberal? After all, he is taking the payasam to get a son. And he will get a son through his wife only. Right? By taking the payasam and giving it to wife, why is he should be called as udaradhi? The Prabhupada explains. Sunita, his wife, was not a fit person to accept the doctrine. Right? She was not fit to accept this benediction of having a son. Right? Still, the king gave her the payasam. So that's why he's called udaradhi. So, why is she not fit to accept this? We'll discuss after one or two verses. Here, in this context, Prabhupada very nicely explains that this incident was not very favorable for the king. Now he is accepting the payasam from the yajna and giving to an unqualified wife, Sunita. So, because he is liberal. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to increase his detachment from the material world, will that a cruel son be born of the queen, so that king would have to leave home. So this is all Supreme Lord's arrangement. Prabhupada is removing all substance here only, and then before we enter the pastime and details of the pastime, Prabhupada is just explaining the whole gist of the story. Right? King is liberal. Because if he gets a bhajan, he will develop the feelings of detachment, and then he will leave home and kingdom, and then worship the Supreme Lord only. So to arrange for this whole thing, this is the root, this is the seed incident for the whole thing. Now Vishnu fulfills the desire of karmis as a desire, but God fulfills the desire of a devotee in a different way, so that the devotee may gradually come to him. Like he had a desire for son. If he is a karmi, he will get a son. But because he is a devotee, he got a bad son. So that he will develop feelings of detachment and do devotional service. Like that. Yeah, I will discuss now. Actually, this incident is mentioned in Padma Purana. We will discuss in 39th, because that has actual reference. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Vidana Buddhi Yogantam, Yuvanamama Pyandite. The Lord gives the devotee the opportunity to make progress further and further so that he may come back to Godhead. So this is the Lord's plan for his devotee. So now he is liberal. Our Anga is very liberal. And liberal person means he gives a very confidential thing to an unqualified person. So that is the nature of a liberal person. And such liberal people are often falling into trouble. It's like ninth offense. Right? To explain the glories of holy name to a person who doesn't have faith. So like that. So she doesn't have qualification, but he gave her. So that is like one offense, and he will only get into trouble because of that. So here Prabhupada is very nicely elaborating on the internal reason why this kind of situation is happening in Anga's life. So Krishna loves his devotees so much that he brings them back to him through any possible means. Right? The means would often teach the world a lesson. Right? And sometimes the means may not be understood by common people and they misunderstand the Supreme Lord. But if one is fortunate enough, he will come in touch with the proper explanations given by acharyas and understand. Now, Anga's mentioned, oh, so he is such a pious king, he got such a bad thing, right? He is worshipping Supreme Lord, he does this acharyas. People may have different comments, but they should read this purpose here. Then they will understand this whole thing in right spirit. So, Krishna can bring out the best possible outcome for his devotees from the most tragic situations. And simultaneously teach the world many lessons. Like that. Now, we can recollect some examples. The Parishit Maharaj had kept in such awkward circumstances so that Bhagavatam could incarnate. Right? Arjuna was bewildered so that Krishna can speak Bhagavad Gita. Then Bharat Maharaj, to increase and intensify his devotional service, he was given a deer body, although he was at Bhava stage. Right? And but understanding that, Prabhupada explains very nicely, this is a severe punishment given to Bharat Maharaj so that his intensity for devotion service is developed. As Jada Bharat, he was like totally focused on his devotion service only. And Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati. So that situation is also arranged by the Supreme Lord only. Because Lord Shankar said in the spiritual world, he was feeling intense separation from Chitraketu. He should come back to me immediately. Okay, what makes him come back immediately? So let him just do some task for the demigods as Ritrasur. Let him have some fight and then immediately come. So he just arranged the whole situation. And through that small episode of Ritrasur, he gave the people in general many lessons. Right? Yudhishthira could not be convinced by anyone so that Bhishmadev could be glorified. Sita was tested in front of everyone so that the future lusty king cannot misquote Ram, Lord Ram. So apparently the incident may be seemingly bewildering, but there are some internal reasons. There is a large plan behind it. Right? Ram's lamentation is misunderstood by people. And Prabhupada was failing in his business and his family was not cooperating with him. Right? But Prabhupada understood it as Vityaha Managrihanam, Harishtheta Dhanam Sunai, and then he left everything. Right? So here Anga had to leave home in frustration because of a bad son. So ultimately, that's the plan of the Lord to go back to Godhead, for Anga to go back to Godhead. And this is for any who lives in various, in a very ghastly way. And Krishna had certain reasons for it, one of the reasons. If we refer to Acharya's commentaries, then we will be able to understand the internal reasons. Apparently, the world may not understand the internal reasons behind the confidential dealings of Krishna with his devotees, but Acharya's reveal them properly. Right. If you read the explanations of Acharya, then one will be able to understand. Without referring to Acharya's explanation, people will understand them according to their own consciousness and their own motives. Right? Like that. Yes, in the 38th verse, it explains, Tatattvam Savanam Ragni प्राच्यवैप्रतिराधे गर्भं काल उपावृत्ते कुमारं विषये प्रजा.
Although the queen had no son, after eating that food which had the power to produce an old child, she became pregnant by her husband, and in due course of time she gave birth to a son.
Sabala eva purusho maha mata mahamanuvrata adharmam sodhavam mrityam tena bhavat adharmika.
The boy was born partially in the dynasty of religion. His grandfather was dead personified. The boy grew up as his follower. He became a greatly irreligious person.
So, Sunita was the daughter of Mrityu, death personified. This Mrityu, fourth and eighth chapter, descendants, before Dhruva Maharaj episode began, where there is a descendant of Adharma, right? In that one name is Mrityu. Right? So that Mrityu, so that Mrityu. So this is referring to that, according to Chakravarti Pad. So, because she is the son of death personified, she is the daughter of death personified, she is an inauspicious daughter. So, she married to Anga, and because from mother's side, he is like belonging to the dynasty of irreligion, so he developed some qualities of irreligion. So that is the reason why she is not qualified is not qualified because of this reason. She is the son of death personified, daughter of death personified. Prabhupada explains here, daughters generally receive the qualifications of father, and mother develop qualities of sons develop the qualities of mother. This is like general, in general it happens. The child born of anger became the follower of maternal grandfather. So now mother means a girl develops the qualities of father, and son develops the qualities of mother. So means this son, grandson, is developing the qualities of grandfather. Right? So in that sense, he became very cruel. And that's what Prabhupada says, in traditional way, the boys and the girls' astrology is matched, you know, then when there is a match only, the you know, marriage will happen. Otherwise, if the girl's party is not very good, then the son will develop the qualities of maternal family. So that is not very good. And sometimes there are mishappenings. So because of that, there is wrong population, bad population, Prabhupada says. Lord arranges an unfortunate way for the devotee so that gradually, due to family circumstances, the devotee becomes detached from his wife and home and makes progress in devotional life. Prabhupada again says, so bad ways, well, how can anger can have it a bad way? Because it's not arrangement, so you can be detached. So there is one more reference from Padma Puran. This Mrityu, death personified, is Yamaraj. He is the death personified. That is another reference from Padma Puran, says like that. So Yamaraj is actually devotee, although he is death personified. He just punishes every living entity. He is cruel in that sense, but ultimately he is a devotee. He punishes for a right purpose. And how can the grandson of a great devotee become so cruel like Vena? That was the question. But the answer is, Yamaraj's daughter Sunita, when she was a small child, she would imitate her father. Father is punishing everyone. He is taking the whip and then punishing people. So she was like imitating the father. So once, a Gandharva, his name is Sushanka. Gandharva name is Sushanka. He was a youthful young man. So he was performing some tapasya. He was doing his austerity. He was worshipping Mother Saraswati so that he can learn the art of music. His desire is to become conversant in the art of music, and he was worshipping Mother Saraswati. At that time, this Sunita, she was a small girl, she is coming and disturbing this fellow, Gandharva. Yes, just poking him now and then just disturbing him, just beating him. But this Gandharva, Sushanka, he was very tolerant. After all, she is a girl only. I could be respectful towards woman. She is a child. He was like tolerating, but her naughty behavior is like increasing more and more. And one day he just chastised, "Are you wicked girl? Why are you unnecessarily pestering me? Why are you disturbing me? And you are beating me for no reason. What is this?" So he just chastised. The next day, Sunita came with a whip, and then just latched on this Sushanka. Then he was like, he was experiencing great pain, and then he just opened his eyes and then cursed Sunita. "You wicked lady, you will get a very wicked son, cruel son. Like, you are showing your cruelty when I am engaged in my austerity, so your son will also become very cruel." So because of that curse, she got a son like Vena now. With that.
Sasarasarasaram udyamyam mrugavarvanagocharam hantyasadhur mrugan dinan venosasvityarajana.
After fixing his bow and arrow, the cruel boy used to go to the forest and unnecessarily kill innocent deer, and so, and as soon as he came, all the people would cry, "Here comes cruel Vena, here comes cruel Vena."
Kshatriyas are allowed to hunt. Why? Generally to protect the innocent citizens from cruel animals, one reason. Second, he has to keep his skills alive. So he has to practice the practice killing, practice hunting, so that he can be ready for battle whenever it comes. So these are the reasons why a Kshatriya hunts. But he just goes and kills innocent animals for no reason. Right? So here he comes Vena. So from the beginning of his life he is very fearful to the citizens. Like Duryodhana also. He was also a very fearful personality. Akrido kridito balan Vajasyan atidaruna Prasahyaniranukrosha Pasumaram amarayat. The boy was so cruel that while playing with young boys of his age, he would kill them very mercilessly, as if they were animals meant for slaughter. Tam vichaksha khalam putram shatanair vidhair nruka yadana sahitam kalpo drutam ati sivarmana.
After seeing the cruel and merciless behavior of his son, Vena, in anger punished him in different ways to reform him, but was unable to bring him to the path of gentleness. He thus became greatly grieved.
So Vena was very cruel. Sudurmanaha, because of that, anger became very aggrieved. Sudurmanaha. So, and he punished also. Sometimes it is required to punish the children. American children may take guns, but actually basically sometimes they have to be punished. China Chupan is a proper court with quite a few times. Lalane bahavo dosan, tadane bahavo gunan. Tasmat putram te shishyam te tadayet natu lalayet. Lalane bahavo dosan. If you pamper a child, if you just encourage him, his bad qualities will increase. Tadane bahavo guna means if you just chastise him whenever required, his good qualities will increase. Tasmat putramcha shishyamcha tadayet nata lalayet. A spiritual master has to chastise his disciple. A father has to chastise his son so that they can develop good qualities. They should not pamper them. They should not encourage their mischief. The Prabhupada once quoted this verse in his lecture, and then he said, now I am an old man, you are all young people. He was addressing his young disciples. You are all young people. It's not, I am not very comfortable in chastising you every now and then. So, with folded hands I beg from all of you, please shave your heads once in a month. So they were not saying, please don't become hippies again. So, please shave, follow proper Vaishnava standards. That's how Prabhupada will say. So punishment has to be administered to elevate a person. So otherwise he may become cruel. So now, in spite of his punishment, this fellow Vena is not becoming proper.
Prayenabhyarthito devo ye pragyagrahamedhina kadatasya bhritam dukkham yena vindanti durbharam.
The king thought to himself, person who has no son are certainly fortunate. They must have worshipped the Lord in their previous lives so that they would not have to suffer the unbearable unhappiness caused by a bad son.
Hmm.
So from 43 onwards, his feelings of detachment are evolving verse by verse. In 43 verse he says, no son is better than bad son. In 44 and 45, he discusses the problems with the bad son. And in 46 verse, interestingly he says, bad son is better than good son. Bad son is better than good son. But here he says, no son is better. Because they don't have to suffer the unbearable happiness caused by bad son. So 44. Yatah pāpi yasi kirtir adharmasya mahandranam yata virodha sarvesham yata adhir anantaka.
A person's reputation to vanish. These irreligious activities at home cause irreligion and quarrel among everyone, and this creates only endless anxiety.
So these are some disadvantages of bad sons. But a son born without good qualities is as good as a blind eye. A blind eye has no use for seeing, but it is simply unbearable pain. So bad son is compared to a blind eye. 45.
Mohabandhanamatmanah
Pandito Bhuman Yeta Yadartha Kleshada Griha.
Who, if you consider it an intelligence, would desire such a worthless son? Such a son is nothing but a bond of illusion for the living entity, and he makes one's home miserable.
So Yadartha Kleshada Griha. He makes the whole home painful. That is the effect of a bad son. Chakravarti was explaining, the king decided that out of public shame he would leave the house full of mental pain. What should the Lord day and night in an unknown place, while taking only roots and fruits, and in that way would make the rest of his life worthwhile. So because this son is making my home like hell, so better I leave the home and then worship the Supreme Lord. So in 46th verse, Anga recognized the fortune hidden in this misfortune. Right? 46. Kadatatyam varam manye sadatatya sutam padat nirvudyoda grahan matya yatklesha niraha grahan.
Then the king thought, a bad son is better than a good son, because the good son creates an attachment for home, whereas the bad son does not. A bad son creates a hellish home, from which an intelligent man naturally becomes very easily detached.
So, what is the fortune here? Kadapatyam varam manye. Right? I think this is better. Right? Because bad son can increase one's feelings of detachment from home. Material home is compared to blind well. Prabhupada calls Prahlad Maharaj, Andhakopam. If one falls into Andhakopam, it's very difficult to come out of the blind well and again start a life again. Right? So, bad son has a good impetus for detachment from home life. So, bad son is a friend. Since he was helping him become detached from his home. So, that is the fortune of having a bad son. So Prabhupada's father also told him, Gaur Mohan Day, when Prabhupada was planning to marry second time, bad wife, he can be detached in your household life and take to Krishna consciousness. So better don't marry again. So Prabhupada was also suggested by his father. So Prabhupada says, my son is the cause of developing a taste for renunciation. The Lord being merciful, wanting to bring me to His lotus feet, though I am blind with material enjoyment, has given me this son. This is the attitude of Sangha. This was his understanding. So, problem happens in everyone's life, but a great soul is one who perceives the problems in a positive light. Right? Sangha is seeing something, great fortune in such an unfortunate situation because of his devotional service. So Anga received Lord's mercy in the form of suffering. And we understand Parikshit Maharaj also received a curse. But Parikshit Maharaj understood that this is a blessing in disguise. One should not be a... That's a good reference that you brought out, Sukhya and Darshita speaking. One should not become a father if he cannot deliver his son, children, from birth-death cycle. So that means what? Father's duty is what? To perform garbhadhan samskar, to give birth to your child, not like an animal, but like a devotee. Right? And then after that, to raise the child in a Krishna conscious way. So these are all the duties of the father to to get qualified like a good father. Anga did all this. In spite of all his endeavors, still the son is not getting revived. Right? He's not becoming proper. He's not cultivating good behavior. So he's developing feelings of detachment. So now, in spite of all your endeavors, if you fail, then that failure is not considered, you are not condemned because of that failure. If you are not doing your duty properly, right, then that is condemned. But instead of doing your duty to the best of your capacity, so he performed a sacrifice. He gave payasam to his wife. And then whenever this jana is being mischief, he is punishing him. Then now he is frustrated and he is leaving. So in that sense it is justified. Future is not in one's hand. But to take care of future, one has to take proper steps in present. In spite of taking proper steps in the present, the future is not working out properly, then we can't hold him so much, right, for his mistake. This may not happen in every case. Somehow this happened here. And definitely, as Prabhupada explained, it is the plan of the Lord so that his devotee can come back. Right? Shastras give examples of everything. There are some examples like this also. In spite of all his endeavors, he could not bring his son into proper consciousness. He got frustrated and he left. Makes sense,
huh? A devotee's father and full father are already delivered, or whoever. If a family, in a family, one becomes devotee, next chapter all becomes delivered. So a devotee, maybe he depends on his sons or his children.
Devotee?
A devotee who is a devotee, maybe he depends on his sons, grandson, to be a devotee and help him or do himself.
And Anandananda asked a similar question to Maharaj. Whereas, like you hear that there is, in one family when there is a devotee, because of that connection one will be delivered. So Prabhuji very humbly asked, if we get connected to some devotee, so that will be an easier position than to we ourselves practice devotion service. So we asked some similar question. So Maharaj gave a heavy answer. So the essence is, one has to practice. I don't remember exactly the details of the elaborate answer, but one has to practice oneself, definitely. It's not that I will do whatever I want, and my family member will deliver me. So that is not the consciousness of a devotee. Okay, what exactly is your point?
My father is devotee. So he is doing his consciousness as a devotee. So, that he has to depend on me to deliver him, or he, by his devotion he will.
Vena, Anga is not dependent on Vena. He himself with his practice and then he went back to Godhead. Right? So if the father happens to be a non-devotee, and if the child happens to be a devotee, and then the child's devotional service will help the father to devise. That there is no doubt in it. Right? So, but, it's not that he is totally dependent. If my child doesn't become a devotee, I have no scope for deliverance. I cannot go back to Godhead. So that is not the right understanding. Correct, Prabhu?
Kings needed a son for continuing the kingdom also. And also kings wanted the son to bring pious fame to the dynasty by becoming a religious king. And actually, that type of desire everybody has. Because ultimately, kings are munificent workers for the world. If they get a very good son, he does good for the people also, and he brings spiritual piety for the home, this thing also. So actually, King Anga is himself a very great devotee. But for him to want to have a son is not around there.
Actually, when Pitraketu also was desiring his son, So it's justified that Chitraketu's desire for his son is bona fide. As already mentioned, the dynasty has to progress and the people should have a bona fide proper king for the future descendants. Even in Acharya also, he wants some of his disciples to take over the movement further. So somebody
once Warren Guru shared a story in GTA. He told that one of our brahmachari, who became a brahmachari, his brother also joined. So some devotees met his father after some years, told that they were very fortunate, both the sons are now brahmacharis, and he will go back. Three sons are brahmacharis, one in Pune, one in Mumbai and one in Calcutta. So you are very fortunate, you will go back home, back to Goddard, they will take you. And who are they to take me? I do my business on my own. Then he started chanting 16 rounds.
I was remembering that example actually. Brothers be a problem. Three brothers.
So, this Vena, so why they chant, his body? Is it because of the reason that Pitu Maharaj is coming from that body? Or is that thing, the genes should continue?
So, Chakravarti Pad explains. Yeah, I'm coming to that. So, Chakravarti Pad explains, I forgot to read this. Because of the fault of mother's side, she was irreligious. Vena was irreligious. But because of arising from sacrifice to Vishnu, caused by father's material detachment, he became beneficial to the father since he gave birth to Krishu. So Vena, because he is a product of both Sunita and Anga, so as product of Sunita, he was irreligious. As product of Anga, he gave birth to Krishu also. Yeah, partially in the dynasty. So, thereby he increases the fame of the family. So, Vena also contributed something to the dynasty of Dhruva Maharaj. Okay, 47. Devam sanirvinda mana nukva grihan Nishishta uttaya mahoda yodayat Alabdha nidro nupalakshito nirbhara Sitvagato vena subham prasuttam.
Thinking like that, King Sanga could not sleep at night. He became completely indifferent to household life. Once therefore, in the dead of night, he got up from bed and left Vena's mother, his wife, who was sleeping deeply. He gave up all attraction for his greatly opulent kingdom, and unseen by anyone, he very silently gave up his home and opulence and proceeded towards the forest.
So, Anga made the best out of this negative circumstances. Right? Mr. Gudra was just checked out of Hastinapur kingdom, and then he just took that opportunity to hear Krishna Katha. And Parikshit was also cursed. He took that opportunity to absorb in Krishna Katha. So Anga had a bad sin. He took this opportunity to perform devotion service. So here our Bhurjan Prabhu quotes Pingala, prostitute Pingala, right, in the 11th canto. So how this example shows, it demonstrates a mood that transforms suffering into disappointment into detachment and surrender. So Vena, because of Vena, Anga was suffering and he was disappointed. But that made him detached and then finally surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the thing. Nonam me Bhagavan Prito Vishnu Kyanati Karmana Nirvedoyam Durasaya Yenme Jata Sukhava. Pingala says, Prasiji Pingala says, I was stubbornly hoping for material enjoyment in this material world, to enjoy some gratification in this material world. He was waiting, nobody is coming. He was anticipating. But somehow or the other, the feeling of detachment was arising in my heart. So, and it was making me happy. So when she was waiting for a customer, she was not happy. But when she developed a mood of detachment, she became happy. So this mood of detachment must be awarded to me by the Supreme Lord. And I must have done some activity which was pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, he has blessed me with these feelings of detachment. So, Pingala was thinking like that. And the person who developed this detachment can give up the material bondage, this attachment to this material society, friendship, love, etc. very easily. So, indifference, right? Suffering can lead to indifference and detachment and ultimately to surrender. So, we have some cases like that also. Yes, number 11.8.37, 38, 39, all three verses show the detachment. So now in that mode of detachment, she took shelter. Now here, actually, having the feeling of detachment is a great blessing. Prabhupada explains nicely in the purport. Mahodayodaya indicates by the blessings of a great soul one can become greatly opulent. And by the blessings of a great soul one can be detached also. Right? But this detachment is considered a better blessing of a great soul than opulence. Like that. Great blessing. So there are many devotees who left home in the dead of the night, giving up attachment for home, wife and money. We have example of Bharat Maharaj. He left the home, kingdom and everything at a young age, and just like the graphic example is given, just like one passes school and is not attached to the school at all. He will not look back and see, doesn't see how much did I pass and what was the color and texture of it, smell of it. He is not bothered how it is. He passes through and then he leaves. In that mood, Bharat Maharaj also left his kingdom, all his material opulence. Parikshit Maharaj also left that way.
Then this citizen understood. Vijnaya nirvijyagatam patim prajaha purohitatma purohitamatya suhridhanadaya vichityar urvyam utishokakakaram yathani jodam purusham kuyogina.
When it was understood that the king had indifferently left home, all the citizens, priests, ministers, friends and people in general were greatly aggrieved. They began to search for him all over the world. As a less out the super soul within himself.
So, all the citizens loved Anga because he was a very good king, devotee. So they were greatly aggrieved. So they were not in that somebody will, some new fellow will come, so we can be better situated. They are not thinking like that. They were greatly aggrieved. They began to search all over the world, just as less experienced mystic searches out super soul within himself. So, this example, Chakravartava and Prabhupada explained in different ways. Chakravartava says, on that day when they were searching, Anga just remained secretly in some place within his own kingdom, and people were searching also. So that's what you can find. And Prabhupada says, Prabhupada just catches that example. Less experience and mystic, set super soul within himself. Right? So what Prabhupada says, by mental speculation one cannot reach the super soul. Like that. So who will maintain the order in the kingdom now? That was their cause of worry. So now all the sages assembled there to help the citizens. And all the citizens went and reported to them. So, when it was understood that King had indifferently left home, so King indifferently left home, so one quote by Maharaj, Raghunathan Maharaj, devotees should be translators of situations into opportunities to surrender. They should translate situations into opportunities to surrender to the Supreme Lord. So, real blessing is that anything that brings a person close to Krishna. So earlier, Prabhupada was speaking about blessing in the purport, 47th purport. The real blessing is one that brings somebody to somebody close to Krishna. Real touch means anything that takes away from Krishna. That one takes one away from Krishna. So real blessing means detachment from material world and attachment to Krishna. So this bad son came as a real blessing on King Anga. The positive attitude is so much talked about in the outside world, but it is very much relevant for the devotee crowd. So, and these are our examples, Anga, etc. So, Maharaj says, without suffering, devotees will become like spoiled children. So, if you are expecting things, then to work in a certain way, then and we are getting it, then we will not be grateful. But if things are happening against our will, then only we can be dependent on Supreme Lord and grateful. The last verse of this chapter. Halakshayanta padavim prajapatir hatodhyamana pratyuprasya te purim rishin sametan abhivandya sasrabho Nyavedayan Paurava Bhakti Lapakum Bhakti Viplavam.
Criticism could not be a thing after searching for him everywhere. They were very disappointed and they returned to the city, where all the great sages of the country assembled because of the king's absence. With tears in their eyes, the citizens offered respectful obeisance and informed the sages in full detail that they were unable to find the thing anywhere.
So that is the 13th chapter. I thought of covering some verses in 14th chapter, but only 10 minutes left. We'll end there. Question?
Protect this all to people. So protecting means giving them culture, then education. And by this, by protecting the all citizens, we will get the mercy of the Lord. But it, here, this is the duty of the king to protect the our citizens, giving them fearlessness. Mm-hmm. But here it seems, because this is also one type of devotional service as a king. But here it seems like he flew from his responsibility. So how to understand?
How to understand? So that is, he prioritized his devotional service more than just his endeavors to revive his son. So definitely he may have compromised on his duties as a king. But this is an example which has to be quoted when his renunciation comes into picture. Right, feelings of development into the feelings of detachment. When we are discussing that, we should quote this example. So I would remember, I think I shared with you also. So shastra, the nature of shastra is not contradictory. Like mother is there, mother may sometimes slap the child, mother may sometimes kiss the child. So it is tuned into the mood of the child. If the child is mischievous, mother will slap the child. If the child is like well behaved, mother may embrace the child. Right? So mother's nature is not contradictory, but it is just tuned into the mood of the child. What is the requirement of the child? So shastras are not contradictory. Sometimes we may find this kind of example where a king just leaves his responsibility. Sometimes we will find other example where a renunciant is forced to take the kingdom to Yavarat. Right? So we have several such examples. Right? So we have to take that example and apply in the right context. Right? So, in this case, this is an example of detachment, frustration in material life. Right? And ultimately the reason, as Prabhupada explains, it is the Lord's arrangement. Supreme Personality of Godhead wanted his devotee Anga to leave his material kingdom and then take the full time devotional service. And that's why he arranged a bad thing. So, and the whole event like this. So, I think this is not the point this may not be a point that we may have to raise in Anga's example. The example is meant for. Or is there any other reason? So we want to elaborate something. Yeah.
Leaving his crying mother behind. Anybody will appreciate that, you know, the Kajal war is more important than mother's attachment to the son. You know? I mean, in the same manner, if a king foregoes his kingly responsibility, duty at this point of time, and he knows well that the sages, brahmanas will do something. You know? Nobody is indispensable in this world. When one fellow is gone, somebody else will be found out, he will find somebody to fix everything. But actually, because he could not rectify his son Vena, at the same time, he could not rectify the people also, whom Vena was killing their children, everything. His hands and legs were tied because of the son's improper behavior. So, he wants to repent for it also, at the same time, turn in a spiritual direction. Actually, spiritual direction is the ultimate direction. Actually, the son gave up his small newborn child in the case to renounce father. This is always a contradictory question from a material point of view. Necessary people will not like that story. Either from leaving the newborn child, and he saw that lizard falling, you know, and then one small lizard went for self. Even before opening the eyes, so it was opening, and there was nobody to punch the lizard. But then the lizard fireflies and put the tongue out. Immediately he said, the Lord has given him intelligence to find his food, so I am pushing up. He left his baby also and entered. But then one grihastha couple were wanting, one want of a child, they saw this new child and they took it. And they gave protection. Similarly, if kingdom is unprotected, all the prajas are crying. So then the brahmanas will come. It is their job. But you know, king has no good son. Find the ideal son and put him there so that the kingdom can go on. But then the Raja took a spiritual direction. And in fact, he was such a lovable king that he had to escape, otherwise citizens should not give him permission. Mr. Yusri Maharaj also had to go to Himalayas when he was going. He didn't take permission from anybody. And Prabhupada wrote one sentence there. You say there are many instances of great souls leaving home in this way in the dead of the night, giving up attachment for home, wife and money. Probably his age was ready, you know. His age was ready for retirement. He supposed to retire. But there was no good man. And if he doesn't give a good son, citizens are going to tell him that you extend your stay for another 20, 30, 40 years, till 19, be rotting with us. No? That is why he said, I am quitting and somebody else will sit the place. Actually, it is not mentioned in Bhagavatam that he took advice from somebody. You know, it is not mentioned yet. But such great works like him surely will have a guru to instruct them. There is no doubt about them. Although all details may not be mentioned here, you know, they will only ask
the right direction of the Brahmanas. See, as you mentioned, his age was already attributed to Rina. But I saw in one line actually, in the translation, it's written, his wife was actually very young.
You got the other part of the answer, right? Okay. So all these kind of small, you know, objections are insignificant compared to the ultimate understanding that we have given. Yeah, take that point. Anybody understood? I am not the controller. Supreme Lord is the controller. Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So, questions shall I give now? After long time, we are announcing questions in the class. Murugan Guru and William Murugan. So, first question. What comments did Srila Prabhupada make about Vidura's eagerness to hear in the first purport? What comments did Srila Prabhupada make on Vidura's eagerness to hear? In the first purport. And second question. What are Vidura's questions happening? Okay, write a brief note on the qualities of Utkala. Qualities of Utkala. Qualities of Utkala. What are the questions of Vidura? Questions of Vidura about King Vena. Third question. What are the three questions of Vidura about King Vena? About Vena. Okay. Righty. What lessons can we learn from the sacrifice conducted by King Anga and his detachment from his Jackson. Detachment because of his Jackson. So it's like just give a brief flow of the whole story and the lessons that we can learn from this whole episode. Anga's sacrifice and birth of Vena and then his detachment from purpose. So this is the question. 25 marks. Not many verses for memorization here. It's okay, we don't have. Okay, this is 25 marks. First question is 5 marks. Other two questions are 10 each. Qualities of Utkala is 15 marks. Other two questions are 5 marks each. This is 25 marks. Qualities of Utkala, you can quote verse number 7. 4.13.7.